Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. It's 1184 B. The B's are always great guests. The A's, the latest medical news of the week, and what it means to you. Today's guest is talking about pelvic masses. That's what happens mainly in women. I suppose it can happen in men as well, but we consider this a female topic. But it's so frequent, as we'll get to, that everyone should know about it. Again, the B's are the guests, and Dr. Leo B. Twiggs is our guest today. He's a gynecologic surgeon who is, in fact, the head of medical affairs for Aspira Women's Health. And I'm going to ask him in a few minutes where Aspira Medical Women's Health is located. But he is a professor emeritus and gynecologic oncologist from the University of Minnesota Medical School. But my guess is, since he's well-tanned, and from what I understand is now a Florida resident, that Aspira is somewhere in Florida, although I don't know that. But he is clearly an expert in gynecologic masses. Why should you be concerned? Well, 0.5% of all women have a gynecologic mass every year, which means if you're living 40 years, which is our generational time, it means 20% of women will at some time in their life have a adnexal or gynecologic mass. So it's got a important topic. Dr. Twiggs, thank you for joining us. We are brought to you by Life's First Naturals, the makers of Truebiotics and Bovine Colostrum. You can go to their website, lifefirstnaturals.com, to see the randomized double-blind controlled trials that show why they have a place in most people's health care armamentarium after the age of 40. I take both, and I hope you'll consider that as well. Longevity Playbook. That's our other website. Go to longevityplaybook.com. Sign up for their free newsletter. It's twice a week. It gives you the latest information on longevity. Dr. Twiggs, did I do that calculation right? 0.5% of women a year have this problem?
Yes, it's relatively rare, but as you said, people live a long time, thank God. And again, so it happens a lot in our clinical evaluation of women. Just to set the record straight, I'm from the University of Miami. I'm a professor emeritus there, and I did spend 22 years of my life at the University of Minnesota, so you had some of that correct. One of the things about the pelvic mass issue is, first of all, what we often call adnexal masses. That's the more medical term, and that means that the ovary is enlarged. When the ovary is enlarged, then the question is, why is it enlarged? Oftentimes, patients with enlarged ovaries have nothing wrong but physiological changes. And physiological changes are easy. The patient has the ovaries enlarged by ultrasound, say, and life goes on and they live happily ever after. The problem, however, is that lurking in that adnexal mass or that pelvic mass is a possibility of ovarian cancer. That's the true issue that we need to look at, because that's the thing that is life-threatening.
And ovarian cancer is a tough to diagnose without it causing major problems for women. It's one of the leading causes of death. It's got a much higher death rate than, for instance, breast cancer, I assume because of the difficulty in diagnosing it. But before we get there, I've got to find out, where is Aspira, A-S-P-I-R-A, Women's Health located?
Yeah, Aspira is a laboratory company. We make lab tests, and one of the few companies that's invested in this particular disease process. We are located in Greenwich, Connecticut, and in Austin, Texas, and we also have a laboratory in Palo Alto. So
Aspira is a laboratory testing company.
Right.
And I assume, since you're associated with them, they must do some tests that relates to ovarian cancer. In my day, when we were growing up, it was the CEA-23 that was associated with it. How has that progressed? So that was a blood test that was pretty nonspecific at that time.
Yeah, the CA-125 is another test that's nonspecific, and we've gotten past that. The CA-125 is not very specific and not very sensitive for ovarian cancer. We developed approximately 10 years ago, the company developed a test called OVA1 Plus. And OVA1 Plus is a test that tells you when you have an adnexal mass and the patient is going to surgery, whether or not the chances of cancer are higher. So the test is used in those clinical situations. Patient comes in, pelvic pain, some other abnormality, and the doctor thinks she needs surgery. The question is, who's going to do the surgery? Does she need to be done in a specialized, fancy area with a GYN cancer doctor where the survival rates are higher if it turns out to be cancer? Or could she have been done by her local gynecologist or a general surgeon? So the test was approved, cleared by the FDA to stratify the patient whether they need to be operated by a gynecological oncologist or not. And that's our first test.
And what does OVA1 measure specifically?
It measures 5 different blood markers. That's why it's so much better. It does have CA-125, it has HE4, it has another other 3 markers in it. And the idea, using neural network techniques, we were able to fashion this test so that it would allow us to triage the patient to the proper surgeon. Now, we've come a long way from that particular test, and now we've got what we call OvaWatch, which is another test, which is a test for when the patient doesn't need surgery or is not scheduled for surgery right away, the indeterminate adnexal mass. And this gives you a 99.7% chance that the sensitivity that there's not cancer there. So you have this diagnostic dilemma. You have many, many patients with adnexal mass and few patients with cancer. So how do we get that patient to the proper place at the proper time to make sure that we increase the chance of survival as high as we can? And we don't operate on lots of patients that don't need to be operated on because they don't have a chance of having ovarian cancer. That's where the company has spent its capital, and that's where we've invested lots of time and money on those particular ideas of how we can help the clinician make a proper decision on what to do with the individual patient.
Now, ovarian cancer. So the presentation of a woman with an adnexal mass is often silent, is it not? Most women may not even have complaints of pain or abnormal feeling in their ovarian area.
Yeah, that's true. But oftentimes, if you look back at patients who do have ovarian cancer, they oftentimes have seen the doctor for multiple times with symptoms. And one of our most important things is that when people have any minor symptom and they see the physician, they need to have an ultrasound to assess the ovarian size and location. So again, the symptomatic patient is one of the ones that's oftentimes shuffled off to sort of nonspecific things and not evaluated properly.
And the ultrasound of the ovaries, is that done transvaginally or is it done transabdominally or both?
It can be both. It could be either or. It depends on the expertise of the person doing the test. Lots of ultrasounds done in the office, in a gynecologist's office. They do it with a technician there in the office, and it's usually done transvaginally. That's the most common, but it can be done in the radiology department at a hospital, abdominally, transabdominally also. But we would recommend transvaginal ultrasound.
And so it is after they've found this increased size of the ovary that you would get the OVA-Watch or the OVA-1.
Yeah, depending on the clinical situation, yeah. The ultrasound comes back abnormal in any type of woman, pre- or postmenopausal women. When it comes back abnormal, the question is it cancer, is it not? More than likely, it's not going to be cancer. But if you don't operate on that patient who has the early cancer, then you might have missed it. So our test is right in that area where the clinician has a question of what to do with the next step. So if the clinician thinks that surgery is necessary, we have the test to get to the right clinician, i.e. the gynecological oncology surgeon, because there's real data showing that's better to be operated on with a gynecological oncologist if you have cancer. Or if it's a small adnexal mass, less than 6 centimeters, and it's found on ultrasound, and it probably doesn't need to be operated on, it's not causing a lot of symptomatology, we have a test that says yes or no, is there cancer there? So that gives the clinician a way of temporizing and not operating and not removing ovaries that don't need to be operated on.
What are the risks of ovarian removal? In other words, some women say, why don't I just have the ovaries out and take hormone replacement? Why do I bother with ovaries after my childbearing is done?
That was a nice idea in the 70s and the 80s, but we've come a long way from there. We've learned with large studies done by the National Cancer Institute and our national studies showing that early ovarian removal and even mid-menopausal ovarian removal has side effects. And we've been able to show that patients aren't always benefited by ovarian removal when they don't have cancer. So we've become much more conservative about removal of ovaries. They do have an important biological effect on the patient. And we've shown that the patient's longevity is decreased if the ovaries are removed earlier. So again, back to your longevity idea, that's not a good idea. The ovaries are good things. They work. They're healthy. They make people better. They produce hormones throughout a patient's life.
And tell me, is the OVA1 and the OVAWatch, are those tests covered by most insurance companies?
They're covered by Medicare. They're certainly covered by Medicare and many insurance companies. And obviously, that's one of the company's jobs is to try to make sure that all the tests are covered. We have special ways of dealing when they're not covered to make sure the patient can get the test done.
And these are blood tests, is that right?
They're blood tests, exactly.
If a woman is seen and said to have an adnexal mass, should she be requesting the OVA1 or the OVAWatch?
That wouldn't be wrong. But I think one of the most important things, we're talking about ovarian cancer now, one of the most important things for people to be cognizant of is what's their family history. When a close relative dies, sometimes we don't always know all the reasons. And one thing we can do for people is to get their family history done as well as they can, number one. Number two is, if indeed they have a clinical situation where the ovary is enlarged, they could request our test, and our test will give the clinician a more clear way of what to do with the particular patient. That's where we exist. That's a space that we are trying to develop, have developed, and it's a place where we can give the clinician real help with a shared responsibility with the patient and what to do.
I want to thank you, Dr. Twiggs, for enlightening me and us and all of the 50,000 or so people who download us weekly about ovarian masses and the importance of them. They are, I think, the sixth leading cause of death from cancer in women. And clearly, if 20% of women over their lifetime will have an ovarian mass, knowing about the OVA tests, the OVAWatch and the OVA1 are important, as well as it's a reason to make sure you get your pelvic exam yearly and, if appropriate, get followed up with ultrasound. To remind you, we are brought to you by Life's First Naturals, the makers of both bovine colostrum and TruBiotics. You can go to their website, lifesfirstnaturals.com, to see the randomized double-blind controlled trials that show why I believe these drugs are so beneficial for those of us over the age of 40. Or you can also go to longevityplaybook.com to sign up for the free longevity newsletter. Thank Dr. Twigg and his expertise and Aspira Health for letting us know about OVA1 and OVAWatch. We'll be back next week. We hope you are as well. This has been 1184B. The B's are always great guests like Dr. Twiggs. The A's, the latest medical news of the week, and what it means to you. You'll want to listen to 1184A this week. There's a great breakthrough at UCSF that justifies the Convoy's data on young blood making old rats young, and what he has found out about young blood and what in it actually cures the old age problem of not only rats, but he's working in humans. Go to 1184A. Do download us as well. Thanks again, and we'll be back next week. We hope you are as well.